The Taku River remains closed to the preseason King Salmon opener. And a Haines resident talks about reckoning with his feeling of cultural isolation growing up as Aleut and Inupiaq in Southeast Alaska. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories up next. The 2016 forecast for Chinook salmon in the Taku River is weak again this year. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game released its outlook earlier this month. The low numbers mean that commercial fishermen will not be permitted to fish in the preseason King opener. It's been more than 4 years since the run was strong enough on the Taku for the allowable commercial catch. KHNS's Jillian Rogers has more.
The Fish and Game forecast is 29,200 Chinook in 2016 on the Taku. That's about 10,000 short of an allowed catch. The U.S. allowed catch is a formula determined through the Pacific Salmon Treaty, which regulates the number that opens a fishery or not. Dave Harris is a fisheries biologist with ADF&G in Juneau. He says the last time the waterway was open to commercial gillnet fishing was about 4 years ago, but it didn't last long.
So in 2012, last time we fished, we started out with a small allowed catch. We had a couple of 12-hour openings. And then once we got the in-season information from the river, it turned out the run was less than we thought, and so we stopped fishing at that time.
But Harris adds the numbers are improving compared to the last few seasons.
We feel that maybe we've kind of turned the corner and are hopeful that things will, you know, get better in future seasons now.
The 2015 King return was also better than predicted.
We achieved our escapement goal this past year, and so things are certainly looking brighter on the Taku anyway. The King salmon, I mean, across the state had been having challenges and, you know, experiencing less productivity in the ocean. And it seems, at least as far as King salmon for the state, things are starting to come around a little bit better now.
There is a commercial fishery and an assessment fishery on the Canadian side of the Taku. The Canadian commercial operation is provided an allowed catch at a smaller run size. Harris says that number is around 34,000. The assessment fishery harvests around 1,400 fish to help generate in-season estimates. The Taku River was closed to commercial kingfishing for more than three decades back in the 70s, but it opened again in the mid-2000s after Alaska struck a harvest share agreement with Canada.
So we started fishing in 2005, kind of at the peak of one of those cycles, and then we had a couple, we fished in 5 and 6, and then again in 2009, and then we kind of gone through this, kind of the bottom end of that cycle, and now it would appear that we're moving back up, and we're hopeful that that's the case.
Mark Sagi is the Haines Commercial Fisheries Biologist for Fish and Game. He says the Taku River fishery is great when it's open with good prices and nice fish.
Well, I think, yeah, any time that an area can be open for a fishery, and especially in the early part of the season, is extremely helpful to the fishermen. You know, it's a long winter.
But he adds, no one really depends on it because it's rarely open. It's more like a bonus. Well, in-season run size estimates will be produced starting in late May of 2016, it's unlikely any directed fisheries will occur on the Taku. According to the department, forecasts for both the Taku and the Stikine have consistently overestimated the final terminal run size in the recent past. As a result, forecasts were reduced by their respective five-year average percentages. An additional consideration taken into account for revising the forecast is the general poor performance of Chinook salmon stocks throughout the region in recent years. The 2016 preseason terminal run size forecast for the Stikine River large Chinook salmon is 33,900 fish. The resulting U.S. allowable catch is 1,100 salmon. That means a limited commercial fishery will open in that district, District 8, starting on May 2nd. Specific opening times and areas will be released in mid-April. In Haines, I'm Jillian Rogers.
During the holiday season, KHNS is airing StoryCorps segments recorded with local residents. John Hagen is a Haines photographer, commercial fisherman, and community education leader. He and Haines Library Education Coordinator Jesse Morgan took part in this StoryCorps interview, recorded by the Juneau and Haines Libraries.
My name is John Hagen. I'm 38 years old.
My name is Jesse Morgan. I'm 25 years old, and I'm here interviewing John Hagen. We're going to talk about his educational experiences and being a grown-up.
Being a grown-up. I do some work in Native education in the community and helping run cultural programming for Chilkoot tribe, but I'm not Tlingit and I'm not Chilkoot. And all my life, growing up in Haines, I was everybody thinks I'm Clinkan. I think it's not that there's anything wrong with that. I'm Aleut and Inupiaq. My family ended up in Haines because of the schools down here. I feel like I've been living undercover as a Tlingit, even though I'm Aleut and Inupiaq. My mother is from a small village called Ugashik in Bristol Bay. There's no schools in Ugashik. There was a pretty sizable village at one time, but everybody was wiped out by the Spanish flu. And she and her family slowly ended up here.
Was she able to pass on some knowledge to you of her culture?
Not so much. It was this double, have this double level of isolation. I had this physical level of isolation, and my aunt, my grandma's family was all wiped out by the Spanish flu in the beginning 1900s.
Wow.
So I had this double layer of isolation there that I've been grasping for that little extra bit of culture.
Yeah. Identity for yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Going through the school system, there's programs that, special programs and scholarships for Tlingit people. But I start applying for scholarships and grants, trying to go to college. And I start talking to them like, well, I'm not Tlingit. They're like, whoa.
So was that difficult for you? How did it?
It's something I've only just recently been able to grasp, and it's from just taking a second whack at going to school. And as a non-traditional student at Institute of American Indian Arts, I realized my story wasn't unique, that there are people across the nation that have grown up outside of their cultures. Sometimes that might just be the only Native American at their school. Other times it might be a same kind of thing where it's, they're from this culture, their mom married somebody from a different culture, and they're at a third totally different reservation or something. Even my grandma's family, the one connection they've had to Ugashik was every summer they'd still go back and catch fish and run a fishing camp out Ugashik. If there's one tie I still have to where my family's from, it's that fishing. Actually, I went back as an adult to go fishing with it, which is, I'm pretty excited to be able to have done. I don't think I could ever really done that, but it was just such an amazing place to be able to actually walk where my family has always been, on the same river and seeing the same sights, looking across the river and not seeing mountains and just seeing it's flat. There's a town, a smaller village 10 miles away, and you could sort of see that off in the distance on a clear day, and which is just amazing after living next to mountains like we do in Haines. It's an intense thing.
I think that's really cool that you returned back to their land, and I think there's a big, strong connection with land, and that's an interesting way to connect with them again, you know, that way.
Yeah, not even having to imagine it anymore. Actually being able to live in a way that my family has always lived.
I feel like there's kind of globally, but also kind of locally, an indigenous movement. I feel like it's kind of reviving.
For me, the one thing I feel like there is an indigenous movement that's reviving. I feel like as now more than ever, I'm once again the omission thing. Like, it's okay to self-identify with not being close to your culture. Having that cultural identity absent is as important as being there.
Definitely,
it's being able to self-identify as a Aleut and Inupiaq that doesn't know anything about my culture, but knows that there should be something there. It's something I use to inform my art. And in some ways, my photography is searching, still searching for a home of sorts. I'm still doing everything I can to learn about my Aleut culture, but Aleut and Inupiaq culture. But it's really, I'm okay knowing that I'm coming from it the other way. And it's not something I try and hide.
Haines photographer and fisherman John Hagen talking to Jesse Morgan. That interview was produced by KHNS with the Juneau and Haines Public Libraries and StoryCorps, a national nonprofit whose mission is to provide Americans of all backgrounds and beliefs with the opportunity to record, share, and preserve the stories of our lives. More information at StoryCorps.org. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.